Welcome to this special extended podcast of the Complete Service for Sunday the 29th of March. Due to the restrictions on public worship across the Church of England, we are live streaming our services on Facebook for the foreseeable future. You can join us each Sunday at 10:15 a.m. without needing to be signed into Facebook. We'll be posting that necessary link along with other resources at www.stpeters.co/sermons. You may want to go and download the material to follow along this service and participate more fully. We compiled this podcast to enable those who are unable to join us live to worship in their own homes.
So, welcome to St. Peter's Church. And as I say, we'll start the service now. If you've just joined us, the resources are available on the website at stpeters.co/sermons. That's SAINTPETERS.co/sermons. Now, this opening prayer seemed particularly poignant today, which is why I chose it for the service. We come from scattered lives to meet with God. Let us recognise his presence with us. As God's people we have gathered, let us worship him together. So we gather again in rather strange circumstances, scattered as we are, but together with God. And I have to acknowledge that it's an odd service and an odd arrangement, where I am effectively giving a talk to a screen and can't hear any responses. But that's unfortunately life at the minute, and we have to sit and acknowledge that, I think. So during the service, if we can hold that separateness but togetherness in our kind of minds and in our hearts as we worship together across this region, that we are together in spirit, if not in body. Or also if we can bear our workers in the health service and other key workers, the shop workers who are keeping the shops going so we can buy food, the rubbish collectors, which is particularly poignant given that this theme of the service is waste, or the theme of the sermon is waste, and also the civil servants and politicians who are keeping running so that people can continue to get benefits and can continue to get, we can continue to make decisions at the national level. So if we acknowledge all of the confusion that's going on and we share, hold that in our hearts as we think about and pray through this morning. As I said, oh sorry, I didn't introduce myself, I always forget that. I'm Simon, I'm the lay reader at St. Peter's. Next to me is Michelle. She is pastoral worker and also my wife. You decide which is the most important in those relationships. We will be leading the first half of the service. And then after the sermon is recorded on YouTube. The link is available on the website. Details of that in a minute. We'll go to the sermon when I tell you to, and then after the sermon is finished, Ned, the vicar of St. Peter's, will pick up the live stream and continue the service to its conclusion. So we'll go to the first song now, and hopefully this will work. I'll click on the link. Please feel free to sing along. I've been told I can't sing along because it'll ruin the recording. So we'll sit here staring blankly at a screen until the song finishes.
Salvation. Oh. Hast thou not seen how all thy longings have been? They've been granted. Oh, what he ordained. Praise to the Lord who doth prosper thy work and defend thee. Surely his goodness he daily attend thee. Ponder anew what the Almighty can do. If with his love he be friend.
Really hard for me not to sing along to that song because I love it, but for your own sake I didn't. But now we will continue our service by listening to the first reading, which is a reading from the book of Isaiah. If you have a Bible with you, it's chapter 24 in Isaiah, verses 1 to 13, and Michelle will read it for us.
Now the Lord is about to lay waste the earth and make it desolate. He will twist its surface and scatter its inhabitants. And it shall be as with the people, so with the priest. As with the slave, so with his master. As with the maid, so with her mistress. As with the buyer, so with the seller. As with the lender, so with the borrower. As with the creditor, so with the debtor. The earth shall be utterly laid waste and utterly despoiled. The Lord has spoken this word. The earth dries up and withers. The world languishes and withers. The heavens languish together with the earth. The earth lies polluted under its inhabitants, for they have transgressed laws, violated the statutes, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore a curse devours the earth, and its inhabitants suffer for their guilt. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth dwindled, and few people are left. The wine dries up and the vine languishes, all the merry-hearted sigh. The mirth of the timbrels is stilled, the noise of the jubilant has ceased, the mirth of the lyre is stilled. No longer do they drink wine with singing, strong drink is bitter to those who drink it. The city of chaos is broken down, every house is shut up so that no one can enter. There is an outcry in the streets for lack of wine, all joy has reached its eventide, the gladness of the earth is banished. Desolation is left in the city, the gates are battered into ruins. For thus it shall be on the earth and among the nations, as when an olive tree is beaten, as at the gleaning when the grape harvest is ended.
Reflect on that, and some of the words being particularly poignant at this time of isolation. We'll move to our next song, which is We Bow Down.
We bow down and confess that you are Lord in this place.
We bow down.
So, another beautiful song of confession, and we're moving into a time of confession now. In a dark and disfigured world, we have not held out the light of life. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. In a hungry and despairing world, we have failed to share our bread. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. In a cold and loveless world, we have kept the love of God to ourselves. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. To Almighty God, who in Jesus has given us a kingdom that cannot be destroyed, forgive us our sins, open our eyes to God's truth, strengthen us to do God's will, and give us the joy of his kingdom, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So now we have our gospel reading, which is from Mark 14, verses 3 to 5. So this is the gospel of the Lord. While he was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very costly ointment of nard, and she broke open the jar and poured the ointment on his head. But some were there who said to one another in anger, "Why was the ointment wasted in this way? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii, and the money given to the poor." And they scolded her. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. So as we reflect on those words, the words of the first reading, we're going to look at responding to that, considering ourselves and our roles in the world. Move on to the song, Beauty for Brokenness.
Sunset, your kingdom increase. Shelter for fragile lives, cure for their ills. Work for the craftsman, trade for the skills. Land for the dispossessed, rights for the weak. Voices to plead the cause of those who can't speak. God of the poor, friend of the weak, give us compassion, we pray. Melt our cold hearts, the tears fall like rain. Come change our love from a spark to a flame. Refuge from cruel wars, havens from fear, cities for sanctuary, freedoms to share. Peace to the killing fields, scorched earth to green. Christ for the bitterness, his cross for the pain. God of the poor, friend of the weak, give us compassion. spark to a flame. Rest for the ravaged earth, oceans and streams, plundered and poisoned, a future, a dream. Lord, end our madness, carelessness, greed. Make us content with the things that we need. God of the poor, friend of the weak, give us compassion.
Now, we're going to move into our time of intercession. This is where you need the instructions for the origami and a sheet of A4 paper. At this point, I will hand the camera over to Michelle. I will keep talking because we are going to use this as a time of intercession. And our intercession to do with, we're thinking about stewardship. And what that means is we care for our planet. And I think it's important, even in this time of isolation, that we continue to think about the planet and our role in its existence. Today, I noticed a news headline regarding waste disposal personnel. And the effect on them of having to go around and collect the rubbish so that they can't isolate, and asking us to think of them as they do their essential job. Now, yesterday when I was compiling these intercessions, I included this first prayer. So I think that's quite poignant. But you'll need the instructions, you'll need a sheet of scrap A4 paper, and as we fold, we're going to do two steps of the folding while we reflect on a prayer. Then if you stop after the first two steps, we'll have another prayer for the second two steps and so forth to the completion of the box. So our first thought, think about the waste you will generate today. And as you do so, pray for the people who have to process it. So now we'll fold the first two folds, and Michelle will show you some of what she's doing.
Okay, the very first fold, take your A4 piece of paper and fold it in half lengthways. With origami, the best thing to do is make sure you have very firm creases. So it should look like that. Like that. Okay. Second step. For those that are folded planes, you fold down the corners. I'll show you in a minute. Like this. So it should look something like that.
So those are our first two steps. Lord, we thank you for those who dedicate their lives to the removal of our effluent. Lord, we thank you that people dedicate themselves to keeping our streets clean and our lives not blighted by waste. In this time of isolation, we pray particularly for them as they go about their job outside, unable to follow isolating rules. Lord, we give you thanks for their work in our society. So our next two steps, think about what you use and what you could reuse or recycle in the waste that you generate today. And as you fold the scrap paper into something useful, pray for a heart to reduce our impact on the planet.
Okay, the next step is to repeat what you've done there on the other side. So, like that. So you should have something that now looks like that. The next step is to just fold that in half. So you fold it in half with the flaps that you've just folded on the inside. So it should look like that.
Lord, our lives affect the planet around us, the nature and life within it. Help us to reduce what we use. Help us to be more understanding as stewards of creation. Help us to be more caring for that which is around us and more loving to the planet, to the wildlife, to the flora and fauna as we live our lives. Help us to consider your wonderful gift to us. So now, our next prayer is to think about the waste disposal system that we have, all the faults and flaws, as well as all the good things about it. And as you continue to fold, pray for the people who are trying to solve the issues of plastic pollution in the environment.
So fold one of the tips in half down to the bottom like that, and then once you've done that, turn it over. Once you've turned it over, you need to fold these corners up like that, and see, whoops, on both sides. So it should hopefully look something like that.
Lord, we pray for those who are seeking solutions to our waste problems. We pray for those who are cleaning beaches, cleaning the sea. We pray for those who are cleaning the land. Lord, we pray for our scientists and our engineers who are looking to solve the problems of the waste that we create. Lord, we pray that we will find solutions to the issues that are there, and that we may live in a clean and a beautiful planet as you created it. So now as we move to our next two steps, think about how the COVID-19 isolation has reduced pollution in our cities. Rivers are running clearer, levels of carbon monoxide in the atmosphere and smog in the atmosphere have reduced in many cities. As we do so, as we fold it, think about, pray for ways that can be found to make that reduction in pollution a permanent feature of our cities. Pray that we can find a way to make this earth beautiful, unpolluted and smog-free.
Okay. So, see the line you've made with that triangle? You need to fold both sides and on that triangle. So that it looks something like that. Just fold it. You've got the triangle, and then just fold it in. And do the same on the other side. You should hopefully have folded in both your triangles so that it looks like that.
Lord, we thank you for the resilience of nature. We thank you that it finds a way wherever we are. Lord, we pray that we will find solutions to our pollution problems, that we'll find ways of making changes, reductions in our pollution that so affect the planet, so that we can continue to enjoy the beauty around us and that we can see it expand as it is doing while pollution has reduced in this horrendous situation. So, in the last two folds, I believe, I think we've got four folds left. I've miscalculated. We'll find something else to pray about. Think about what it means to be a steward of creation. Now, your ideas might be different to mine, and that's fine. So what I want you to pray for is the strength to stand for what you believe that being a steward of creation means. To basically stand for your role that was appointed to you at creation to be stewards of this earth.
Okay, I've actually nearly finished.
Well, right. That's
okay. So you've got your point, fold it back down on itself on the opposite direction. So you end up with what looks like a trapezium. Okay. Right, then, so you've got a triangle on one side and a pointed triangle on the other side. Then all you need to do, in theory, is just gently pop it out. And you should end up with something that has four points that it can, a box can balance on. And that's it, we're done.
Just show that again.
Right, just show again. So it should have, it should just pop out so that you've got a box that can balance on four points. And probably the other thing to say is there will be a crease on the inside. So you will have like a small divider on the inside of the box. So that's perfectly fine.
So there, we've made something useful out of waste. Lord, help us to look after your planet. Help us to care. Help us to wonder at creation that you have made, and glory shines from it in your hands. Lord, help us to appreciate what we have and to strive to be good stewards. Amen. As we bring the prayers together, let's continue with the Our Father. Let's turn it back so you can see me again for a very brief period of time. So as we say together the words that Jesus gave us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. So we now move to the sermon. The sermon is available via a link on the website. That's at stpeters.co/sermons. That's stpeters.co/sermons. If you go there and play that, but let me remind you first that you need to rejoin this Facebook live stream at in about 15 minutes when the sermon ends. You need to rejoin us, and at that point, Ned will take over streaming to the completion of the service. So please rejoin us, having watched the sermon, in about 15 minutes' time.
Hi all, it's great to be with you and just wondering how you're all getting on. Jill and I are doing okay, although I've had a bit of a cough, and one night I sweated, but it doesn't seem to be getting worse at all. Dave Bookless, who's an Anglican clergyman in London, wrote a book about 20 years ago, God Does Not Do Waste. And he gave two illustrations of this. One is the way in which tree leaves fall, and the next year or 2 years later are providing nutrition for the flowers on that tree. And we're seeing that at the moment on our magnolia, which is just outside our lounge window. The other thing that he comments on is that when we human beings mess up, he doesn't throw us out, but rather he recreates us. We are a new creation. This was all sparked off many years ago when he went on a holiday to Sicily, and he and his family really enjoyed the time in Sicily, the Scilly Isles, not Sicily, the Scilly Isles of the end of Cornwall. And at the end of their time, he asked the locals what they did with their waste. And they said to him, just dump it over the cliff at the end of the island. So he went and did that. But as he did that, something stirred within him. And he realized that if he worshipped a God who is the creator, he couldn't be treating God's earth in this kind of way. How would we feel if people mess up good things that we have made? For Jen Hatmaker, it was the same discovery of God, the creator, as well as the redeemer, that had her do all that she describes in this chapter of her book. Psalm 24 and verse 1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." For Dave Bookless, that led to initiating a project that took a 90-acre site near Heathrow Airport, where there had been huge amounts of fly tipping, industrial pollution, and turned it into, with the help of the local community, and turned it into Minute Country Park, which is still very much thriving 17 years on. Jill and I have not been there as yet, but one time when we go down to London, I do want to call by there. For Jan, it transformed her lifestyle at a more personal level. She learned to recycle very enthusiastically, and that included learning about composting. At the moment, we have a little box that we take down the garden with our vegetable peelings, but before that, we used to use ice cream cartons to make it into that. At one time, we had a black composting bin. Now we've got a couple of bins made up of pieces of wood around them, and we find that over a couple of years, then compost happens. And then Jan, with the help of others, began to grow things in her backyard. I actually planted some extra tomato seeds this year in the hope of offering them through Sunday school. Well, I won't be able to do that this Sunday, but maybe we can find a way to get them round. Over the last month, we've become incredibly aware of the power of the invisible. Jan was also aware of this, both at a local, both the local pollution and the CO2 emissions from her car. And she knew that local pollution was damaging, especially for children and those with asthma, etc. And also how CO2 emissions are causing global warming. The first time I came up to this area was well over 50 years, and with the scouts we were camping near Abney. We were trained in burn, bash and bury all our tin cans. We put all our peelings in the ground, and I'm sure that all of those will have long since decomposed. But the CO2 emissions from the coach that brought us there are still up in the outer atmosphere. Now, not everybody can afford an electric car, but all of us can cut down on our car use by using public transport, by driving in a more eco-friendly way. Since I saw that, I've managed to reduce our petrol consumption by about 10%, and sharing lifts. The other thing that is quite striking about this whole issue is that according to Carbon Stewardship, a fund that's linked to a charity that's linked to Arosha, then I found it quite surprising that the highest pollution is caused by the food that we eat, and our car driving and our heating smaller amounts. Each square represents half a ton of CO2. I'll try and ask Ned to make this available to us. I'm very aware of the power of food to cause serious CO2 emissions, having lived in Brazil for 14 years. And particularly in the last 5 years, there has been a huge increase in the amount of deforestation in the Amazon, and also a huge impact on northern Argentina, which used to be a very forested area. In Brazil, and indeed in northern Argentina, those forests are being cut down mainly to grow soya, and that's exported as feed to for the cattle in Europe, the USA, and China. So over the last year, Jill and I have sought to cut down our consumption of red meat. We're eating a lot more lentils and chickpeas, and if we do eat meat, it's mainly pork and chicken. You won't have heard of somebody called Gus Speth, but he was the senior US advisor on climate change to Presidents Carter and Clinton, and then the former dean of Yale School of Forestry and Environmental Studies. In other words, he's somebody who knows precisely what he is talking about. And he wrote this: I used to think that the top environmental problems were biodiversity loss, ecosystem collapse, and climate change. I thought that 30 years of good science could address these problems. I was wrong. The top environmental problems are selfishness, greed, and apathy. And to deal with these problems, we need a cultural and spiritual transformation, and we scientists do not know how to do that. I find it fascinating that over 2,500 years ago, the prophets talked about selfishness and waste. It says in Isaiah 24 and verse 5, "The earth is defiled by its people. They have disobeyed the laws, violated the statutes, and broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore, a curse consumes the earth. The people must bear their guilt. Therefore, the earth's inhabitants burned up, and very few are left." And we need to remember that Israel, 700 years previously, had been a land flowing with milk and honey. And now it's described as a devastated land. And Jeremiah makes a very similar point too. Lent is a time of self-examination and repentance. I've been a supporter of Christian Aid for over 25 years. And as far as I know, they've never used the word repentance until a few years ago. This year, it's in their main publications. It's all to do with change. Kate Raworth has written a book called Life is a Donut. And she asks the question, how do we see ourselves as human beings? Economics literally means in Greek the art of household management. But especially since the Second World War, we have become financially addicted to growth. And I'm very aware of that, having done a degree in economics before I trained for the ministry. Our model is take, make, use, and throw away. When we take things out of the ground, we rarely are bothered by the consequences of them. We use things and then throw them away. She goes on to say, today we have an economics that needs to grow whether or not they make us thrive. What we need is an economics that makes us thrive whether or not we grow. And we see something of this in the attitude of the woman who anointed Jesus. She was just being very generous in the way in which she treated Jesus. She wasn't thinking selfishly or greedily, but rather was wanting to serve Jesus Christ as he approached his death. And so then, as we think about the way in which we use waste, I'm going to ask Ned to put on the podcast something that we can download to help us think about the way in which we use waste, so that we can be those who seek little by little to be those who are changed as we acclaim the Lord's majesty, as we sing glory to the righteous one. Amen.
Welcome back. For those of you who don't know, my name's Ned. I am the vicar at St. Peter's Church. And before you are concerned, I'm not in the same place as Simon and Michelle. We are separated, but we are joined together online through the miracles of technology, which have been both a blessing and a curse at this time. I hope you've had a chance to watch Patrick's sermon. You can catch up on that on the YouTube channel. I will remind you of that link. We are reminding everyone again and again and again, because some people join later on, so it's useful just to keep people as up to date and connected as possible. On the service sheet, it just says sharing and responding. I want to just help us try to use the comment section as much as possible in this section. So let's see how that works. But I was thinking about what we were going to do originally. We were going to do communion and share communion each week. But if you've been following the Facebook page over the last week, I've been doing a lot of theological reflection and doing a lot of work to try and settle what I think about doing Eucharist when we are not together, even two or three of us, like we were last week. Simon and Michelle were able to join me because the restrictions hadn't been put in place then. So I've been trying to do a lot of work on theology, and you can watch those videos on the Facebook page. I do encourage you to watch those. And just, if anything, just to see how I do theology. I do it in many different ways. There are lots of different ways of reflecting. Usually I try to think things through first and foremost, and I try and work out the system before doing anything. But in this particular case of whether I celebrate Eucharist on behalf of the community, on my own, I decided I just needed to do it and see what I thought about it and how I felt about it. And at times it was quite emotional, and I was surprised by that, and I've been trying to reflect on that over this week. So what I want to do in this section, just before we finish our time together, is encourage you as the people of God to not waste this time. We've been talking quite a lot about physical waste. The Bible talks very negatively about waste, about being laid to waste, the Isaiah passage being an example of that. And even in the Gospel reading from Mark, where waste is talked about in terms of the ointment being wasted and should have been used for other purposes, there's a sense in which it's negative. But I want to say, let's not waste the time that we've been given. I think it's really easy, if I'm honest, to take this time in the crisis with all the emotions and all the overwhelming thoughts and reflections that come at us to sort of bat them all away and park them all and just say, I'll deal with that when it's all over. Let's just hunker down and get through this and then we'll reflect. And if we're really honest, I don't think any of us do. I think we just throw it onto a pile of things that I will think about when I've got some time. Well, I've been really struck this week of the time that I do have. Now, I try to fast from media, and I did that between Sunday and Friday night last night. Friday night. and I fasted from media. I fasted from TV, radio, I fasted from podcasts, listening to podcasts. I fasted from playing games on my phone. I fasted from Instagram and from Twitter and all of these things. And I found myself just trying to work out what I was going to do with my time. And that in and of itself caused me to reflect. Now, a lot of you know that I reflect quite easily. I think about things a lot. And so I just want to kind of give you an encouragement and show you ways in which you might spend the time that you have at home, even whilst you are busy homeschooling your kids, trying to keep your marriage together, trying to feed each other, trying to make sure that money's coming in, you know, all of those sorts of things, to take some time. It's okay to just stop and to listen to Bess's sermon last week and to pause, just to stop and kind of breathe and to look for God and to ask yourself as we travel through this, where is God here and now? What is God doing? God is not waiting for the coronavirus to pass over. He's not going to wait the weeks, the months, however long. He is speaking to you and to us as a church, and we can't miss him. We can't wait for him to speak. He is speaking to us. So I'm just going to share a few things that I've been hearing, and I would love to be able to, if you're willing to, just to share on the comment section, what is God speaking to you about at this moment? What is it that God, you've got questions about, or you've suddenly gone, I've never had to think about whatever, but I think God is prompting me to talk about that. Well, I've got a few things which have prompted me to reflect this week. First of all, this is a cactus. It was given to me by a lovely friend. And it's called Ephesus because she gave it to me when we were in a restaurant called Ephesus. It's a cactus of some description. It sits on my desk, which I've been spending lots of time on at the moment, doing video chats and phoning people and trying to get resources up and running and planning a Holy Week, which is going to be odd. And I keep casting my eye upon it as a cactus, something that flourishes and grows with very little nourishment, something that is in wasteland and in wilderness space. And yet it remains luscious and vibrant. It holds a lot of stuff in it, and good stuff for it. And I've sort of been reflecting on how much we are in wilderness at the moment and how much we're in wasteland and how much God is still able to nourish us. And it feels like we've got less. It feels like we're not drenched as much as we used to be, or kind of filled with as much. That we're not encountering God because we're not meeting together or getting a chance to pray because our life is just turned upside down and we've not really worked out structuring of our day. But actually, God can sustain us for a lot longer with very little. I'm reminded of the story of Elisha, who miraculously is kept going on a small amount of oil and bread in the wilderness, while being fed by a widow. That actually we don't need that much, but what God gives to us is enough. So that's been something. Again, I just found it in my house and I stopped and I thought, what might God be saying to me in that? I just noticed it and I paid attention to what I noticed, what stood out. Also this, many of you will know this if you've joined me with morning and evening prayer. This is an icon which is usually up in our chapel at church. It's from Teze. It's called Friend of Jesus. We've got Jesus here and the Friend of Jesus here. I've reflected on this quite a lot as an icon. And often I pray for people and I pray that they would be this friend here, that Jesus would be alongside them. But one thing that I have particularly been noticing as I've been reflecting and praying with this is that just here on the shoulder, I don't know if you can see it, is Jesus' hand. One of the things that I have been reflecting on is about how I miss human contact. I've not touched or been touched by another human being since Sunday, when I met with and worshipped with Simon and Michelle. I've not been in the presence of another human being and socialised. I've been sort of just in my house on my own. I've been talking to people, but how much I need that human presence, that real presence. And that's driven me to pray to God for that he would be very physically present with me. And I have to be honest, I have struggled. I've struggled with that. And it has driven me to be appreciative of those relationships that I get to enjoy in normal life, and how much I have neglected those people or not really paid attention to those that for whom this is normal, that human contact is rare for them, and how much I use human contact to express love and affection to people, how much I reach out and hold hands, and how much I kind of put my hand on people's shoulders. I was at a funeral this week with a man in his 70s who'd lost his wife a week ago. And now, after 50 years of marriage, of spending time in house together, his wife has gone and he is now totally alone with no one to come and comfort him in his bereavement. And it made me reflect my own bereavement and how much I valued and appreciated just people coming and sitting with me in my silence and in my grief. And watching him sob at the crematorium with his four family members, none of whom are his kids, they're nephews and nieces. They were just sat around and none of us could hold out a hand or to stroke him or to comfort him physically. It was heart-wrenching. What are we going to do in that? How are we going to communicate love and intimacy to those that we are not able to do so through human touch? Obviously, there are other ways of doing that. Words of affirmation, quality time, gifts, acts of service. At this time, when the human touch element is taken away, so that people don't feel neglected and subhuman, as it were, how are we going to expand and increase the other four ways of communicating love? How is it that we can gift one another? How is it that we can give quality time to one another? How can we spend more time affirming one another in words? And that includes our neighbours, those not part of St. Peter's Church, but part of the parish. So I want to challenge us on that as I've been reflecting. I think I've had lots of time to read, and I'm currently reading this book. I encourage you to look it up and to get it if you haven't got it. It's a great book. It's very hard-hitting. It talks about Christian community. I shared it at PCC, but I'm just going to read a small thing that stood out as important at this time. The physical presence of other Christians is a source of incomparable joy and strength to the believer. Longingly, the imprisoned Apostle Paul calls his dearly beloved son in faith, Timothy, to come to him in prison in the last days of his life. He would see him again and have him near. Paul has not forgotten the tears Timothy shed when they last parted. Remembering the congregation in Thessalonica, Paul prays night and day exceedingly that we might see your face. And the aged John knows his joy will not be full until he can come to his own people and speak face to face instead of writing with ink. The believer feels no shame, as though he was still living too much in the flesh, when he yearns for the physical presence of other Christians. Man was created a body. The Son of God appeared on earth in the body. He was raised in the body. In the sacrament, the believers receive the Lord Christ in the body, and the resurrection of the dead will bring about the perfected fellowship of God's spiritual, physical creatures. The believer therefore lords the Creator, the Redeemer, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for the bodily presence of a brother. The prisoner, the sick person, the Christian in exile sees in the companionship of a fellow Christian a physical sign of the gracious presence of the triune God. Visitor and visited, in loneliness, recognize in each other the Christ who is present in the body. They receive and meet each other as one meets the Lord, in reverence, humility, and joy. They receive each other's benedictions as the benediction of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if there is so much blessing and joy, even in a single encounter of brother with brother, how inexhaustible are the riches that open up for those who, by God's will, are privileged to live in the daily fellowship of life with other Christians. It is true, of course, that what is an unspeakable gift of God for the lonely individual is easily disregarded and trodden underfoot by those who have the gift every day. It is easily forgotten that the fellowship of Christian brethren is a gift of grace, a gift of the kingdom of God that any day may be taken from us, that the time that still separates us from utter loneliness may be brief indeed. Therefore, let him who until now has had the privilege of living a common Christian life with other Christians praise God's grace from the bottom of his heart. Let him thank God on his knees and declare, "It is grace, nothing but grace, that we are allowed to live in community with Christian brethren." I mean, how timely is that? For now, and I have been more appreciative of our fellowship before the restrictions were put in place, and certainly when we return, I long for that day when we can share the peace physically with each other, we can share fellowship together face to face, and sit in each other's presence. The other thing that I've been reflecting on is about how we live now, separated and isolated as we are. Many of you might not be aware of this, but the Archbishops of Canterbury and York have asked that I, on my own, behind locked doors, do not go into the church building right next door, which I have been doing. I've been going in for morning and evening prayer and to celebrate the Eucharist, as I've been reflecting on that. So I've been going in morning, midday and evening. And now they're asking me not to do that. And that's caused me a great deal of concern and theological reflection, which I'd really appreciate your prayers and your input on, really. Because my instinct is to ignore it, to go in and to ring the bell. And the reason for that is because so many people from the parish have got in contact through email and through telephone from the website to let me know how much they appreciate hearing the bell being rung, to remind them that the church is still here in the midst of our community, that we are still praying. Now, sure, we would be praying at home, and the Archbishops of Canterbury and York have asked me to pray from home, but there's something quite physical and tangible for those that aren't able to join on the live stream, just to hear the bell. Steve, the butcher in Greenhill, has often commented how much he appreciates hearing the bell being rung for prayers, and I'm loathed missionally, if anything else, to take that away from our community. That it can be easy that people just, in first of all, assume that we're praying and then forget that we're praying at home in our places of isolation. Now, I'm not putting anyone at risk. I don't come into contact with anyone. I don't touch any surfaces and leave any viruses. I make sure that I wipe those down. But still being in that shared space, filling it with the prayers of the people, gathering the prayers in our shared home at St. Peter's, I want to keep that place alive with prayer and worship so that when we do return to each other, we don't go into a spiritually abandoned place and have to fill it from nothing. But I want to fill it with prayer and worship through this time when you are unable to do it, and to do it on your behalf, and to do it with love for you as your priest. But I don't know what I should do about that, because I would be going against instructions and advice from the Church of England. So I'd really appreciate your prayers and inputs on that. So please do get in touch with me about that. And also, another thing that I'd like you to think about and to pray about and to reflect on and to send me emails or phone me or have conversations with me over WhatsApp or on Facebook about my role during this time. You are all at your home. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you throughout the day without ceasing. And I want you to let me know what you see me doing, spending my time with, because I could quite easily waste my time. I could easily be making resources that you don't need. I could easily fill my time with ringing you when in fact you know that there are people in the community, in the parish, who would appreciate a phone call which I don't have contact with, and you'd like them to speak to me. I don't know what I should be doing in this place. What does it mean for me to be a priest at this time? How am I present for the parish when I can't be physically present? So any advice and prayers for that, that would be really useful. Final thing, a thing to maybe send you off to reflect on as you go about your week. A guy called Krish Kandaya, who's a Christian who runs a charity called Home for Good, has been offering some online reflections. So I really encourage you to look up the Q&A, frequently asked questions, FAQs with Krish Kandaya. Look it up on YouTube. On one of his early ones, he talked about how to be a Christian in times of crisis. And he quotes an old Christian that says that crises reveal our true character. I have spoken many times about our values and our priorities. And at this time, we are being stripped of what we think we value. And what is being revealed is actually what we value and what we prioritise. All the things that we think we need are being taken from us. And suddenly we realise that we may not have needed them all along. Hence why I think 7 by Jen Hatmaker has been an absolute godsend to us as a community, and certainly for me as I've been reflecting through this very particular Lent. But we at St Peter's have said that we value love without borders. What does that look like at this time? How do we love people who are outside our church community, who are not in the clique of the Facebook page or on the WhatsApp group, the humour zone, which has been very good fun? But how do we reach in love those people behind very physical borders of their front door that are unable to get out? How do we do that? How do we value that? How do we engage with that? We say that we value sharing without fear. How do we do that with each other? How do we do that over Zoom or Google Hangout or however you are connecting with each other? How do we share what we're doing and how we're doing it without fear of reproach, of judgment, of being rejected? How do we do that at this time of crisis? And we say that we value seeking with passion. Well, are we? Are we seeking God and opportunities to hear from him? Are we seeking out times to pause and to pray, to be quiet, to reflect? How many of us are able, have been wasting our time instead of going and maybe watching evening or morning prayer or connecting with our resources and doing a Lectio Divina or examen and giving God opportunities to speak to us at this time? Are we seeking with real passion, or are we allowing this time just to float by as we try and grapple with it? And finally, how do we value prayer without ceasing? What does that look like at this time? How can we make prayer an everyday part of our life, that at each activity, at each time of need, how do we pray to God? So there's lots of things just to spark reflections. I'd love for you to share those with me so that I know how I can serve you best, how I can help you and guide you. I'm very much a teacher at heart. I'd love to be able to help you wrestle with those questions, because I certainly am wrestling with questions. So I'd love to hear from you in whatever way you feel comfortable doing that. So please do that during this week. We're going to sing our final song together, Lord of All Creation, or God of Wonders. Michelle and Simon, I'm going to mute my microphone, I hope, and then I'm going to we're going to worship together.
Holy, holy, holy.
thought you might appreciate me not singing on the microphone, so I muted it for everyone. We're going to come to the end now. Just a few notices to say that we would love to continue to give resources to you so that you can be worshipping at home. Please do also print off any resources from the website. Pass it to anyone that you are able to pass things to. Those people who are not on Facebook, maybe not even on the internet. So service sheets and things, please try and keep that as hygienic as possible, washing your hands before and afterwards, etc., etc., etc. But we would love to be able to reach out to our parish and make sure that we are still being able to bless them and lead them in prayer and worship. There are resources on our website, that website again, www.stpeters.co/sermons. There'll be more being added soon for Holy Week so that we can still worship together through that, but maybe in different places. Morning and evening prayer will be live streamed. Tomorrow I'm going to probably be in church doing it until I get a sense from you guys as a congregation and as a community whether or not you think I should or shouldn't. But I'm going to be doing that until then and putting my neck on the line in terms of obedience. But I am technically meant to be obedient in all things lawful, and the government says that I can. So I'm going to do that. We'll be live streaming that, so please do join us. 9 o'clock for morning prayer, and evening prayer is at 5:30. I have been this last week been doing midday Eucharist. I think I might do a midweek one on Wednesday at midday. So do look out from the Facebook page for that, and you can join me for those, and you can listen back to them as well. You can watch them, recorded versions of them. So please do join me in any of those. I really encourage parents who are homeschooling. We've got some great human resources for you in the likes of Sarah Rowland, and Hannah's connected to Twinkle, and Ali's around, Sean's around. These people are here to help. I'm sure they won't mind giving you advice on how to cope with children and teaching them. But I want you to remember, particularly parents, give yourself a whole load of grace. No one knows how to do this, and we're all working it out as we go along. Do not feel like you need to be perfect. Give yourself a heap of God's forgiveness as you get stressed and strained and all of those sorts of things. Hold each other in prayer in that way. A small plug for those of you who weren't here at the beginning of the video. This is my new book. Look at that. Many people have asked me about the front cover. This is inspired by the stained glass windows in the chapel at our church, which I love. So I just use that as a sense in which I've been reflecting on it. Anyway, Ashwater Oil. It's a pretty hefty book, but it's $9.99. You can go to my website, www.nedlund.com/bookshop, and order yourself a copy there. I was saying at the beginning, I will happily sign it, but you have to prove that you've read it. So get reading, and then when we're back together, I'm happy to sign it for you. That's the shameless plug. And finally, Holy Week. I will be providing resources for Palm Sunday, for Maundy Thursday, for Good Friday, and obviously for Easter Sunday. We will be live streaming, obviously, on Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday. Those will definitely be Eucharists, so join us for those. And as I say, keep looking at that resource page on the website for all the details. Until then, let's conclude our time together with the liturgy on the service sheet, which you should have up. With it, I'm going to say a blessing, and then we will say this final words together. May God the Father, who shaped us and formed us from the dust, hold you close to him this week. May God the Son, who came to redeem our lives, walk you this week. And may God the Holy Spirit, that fills us and transforms us and recycles us for God, fill you this week. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. In our isolation and fear, the Lord does a deep work in us. Recycle our faith that we may run and not be weary, walk and not faint. Recycle our hope that we might rise up from pessimism like the flight of eagles. Recycle our love that justice may roll on like a flood and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Refresh us as we wait upon the Lord. Amen. If I don't see you for morning and evening prayer, I'll see you here next week at 10:15, our normal, regular time for worship. Until then, God bless and look after each other.